Meshech Chochma for Parshas Re'eh, we begin with the first piece, which is Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, V'yirashtem Osa V'yishavtem Ba. And the Meshech Chochma quotes a famous machlokes about whether the mitzvah of yeshiva be'eretz Yisrael is counted as a mitzvah saseh. And in the Ramban's listing, in his critique of the Rambam, of mitzvahs that the Rambam had omitted, he has the mitzvah loreshes es ha'oretz asher nosa nakel yisparach lavoseinu liavram liyitzok liyakov, etc., etc. And he quotes, v'orashtem es ha'oretz v'yishavtem bo. And the commentaries on the Ramban are bothered by a Gemara in Sota on Daf Yud Dalet. The Gemara says, "Mipnei manis ava Moshe Rabbeinu likaneis li'eretz Yisrael v'chilechol mipiria l'spa mituvo tzarech." Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have such an intense burning desire to enter into the land? I mean, did he want to eat from the great fruits of the land? He wanted to be satiated by its goodness, its bounty. Ella, but rather, Omar Moshe harbe mitzvos nitztava Yisrael v'ein miskayim mele b'eretz Yisrael ekonis ani la'aretz k'deish yischayvu kulan al yod. And Moshe Rabbeinu desires, according to this drasha Rav Simloi in Sota Yudalad, to enter into the land so he could fulfill the mitzvos. But the very question of Rav Simloi should bother our minds. What kind of question is that? Certainly Moshe was oev kesef, lo yispa kesef, oev mitzvahs, lo yispa mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu is the paradigm of someone who desires mitzvahs. And if we're assuming the Ramban, that there's a separate independent mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, independent of fulfilling the mitzvahs, hatluyus ba'aretz. So Moshe Rabbeinu certainly wanted to enter the land in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, v'yishavtem ba. And Rav Simloi's answer is, no, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into the land in order to fulfill the mitzvahs. Why is that so? Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into the land to fulfill the mitzvah of living in the land. What kind of question is Rav Simloi asking when the answer is so obvious? Unless we assume, and that's what the critique of the Ramban is, that Rav Simloi did not agree that there's a separate independent mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but rather it's only a mitzvah as a conduit, or shall we say an intermediary, a preliminary. It's only a hechsher, it's only a necessary precondition, a necessary step to arrive in the land so that you can fulfill the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. Which, by the way, seems to be the opinion of Reb Chaim Cohen in Tosfos at the end of Masechet Ksuvos, that in our day, we certainly don't have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael because we cannot fulfill the mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz. So this whole approach, the counter approach to the Ramban, that there's no separate mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, it's only Eichat Timtzah in order to be mekayim the mitzvah hatluyos ba'aretz, that seems to be supported by this drasha of Rav Simloi in Sota Yudal. Says Rav Meir Simcha, Umay Maksha. He says, Lo Kashamidi. This question is not a valid objection. Why? Dilafi Zeh. If you'll accept the view of the dissenters, those who reject the Ramban, and there is no separate mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, it's only to fulfill the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, then B'nei Gad u'B'nei Reuven lo yekaimu mitzvahs yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. You're going to have to draw the conclusion that since B'nei Gad u'B'nei Reuven were settled on the other side of the Yarden, meaning on the eastern side of the Yarden, not on the western side, they didn't have the mitzvah satluyos ba'aretz, and therefore they didn't get any mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And v'zeh eino, that for sure is not true, because the Shvatim of Reuven and Gad settled in the land of Sichon v'Og, which belongs to one of the seven nations, the Amorites, that occupied Palestine. And the Torah says, V'orashtem es ha'aretz v'yishavtem ba, in the context of this great military battle, to conquer Sichon and the land of the Amorites. In that context, the Torah commands, V'orashtem es ha'aretz v'yishavtem ba. And again, if we had more time, we would have to go through Bamidbar Lamed Gimel, go through the chapter there, and analyze this point of Rav Meir Simcha. But let's now accept it on blind faith. According to Rav Meir Simcha, the mitzvah of the Yeshavtim Ba certainly applies to the eastern and not just to the western side of the land of Israel, and therefore B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven that were commanded to settle that area on the eastern side of the Yarden in the aftermath of the defeat of Sichon, they certainly fulfilled the mitzvah of Yishavtim Ba. The mitzvah of Yishavtim Ba was given in the context of that military obligation, the mandate to conquer the land of the Amorites. And if you're going to reject the Ramban, then you're going to have to come to the conclusion that B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven forfeited the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which is only a mitzvah in order to achieve the mitzvah Satulias Baretz, which is on the western side of the Yarden. Yeah, okay, that's wonderful. Rav Meir Simcha certainly has a very strong argument in favor of the Ramban, because we see that in the cases of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, they settled the land and fulfilled the mitzvah of Yeshavtim, but despite the fact that they did not fulfill the mitzvahs of Trumas and Maisers, etc., which were only on the western side of the Jordan River. But nevertheless, what about the Gemara of Rav Simlai? Why is Rav Simlai raising the question that Eman is Ava Moshe Rabbeinu Likonis Leretz Yisrael, when the answer, according to the Ramban, is obvious? There's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Should Moshe not want and not desire to fulfill that mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? So Meir Simcha says, what was the nature of Rav Simlai's question? Maduah hayah Moshe mevakesh likanes la'aretz? Just the opposite. Moshe, the underlying premise of Rav Simlai's kasha is the Ramban Shita, that there's an independent mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, why was Moshe so excited and so desiring to cross the Yarden? He didn't have to cross the Yarden. Once we conquered the land of Eretz Sichon, then Moshe Rabbeinu already had fulfilled the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Vadei kol zman shelo yakibush v'chiluk ha'aretz mekaymim bo yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. In other words, to the same extent that B'nai Gad u'B'nai Reuven, by settling the land on the eastern side of the Yarden, the Eretz Sichon, fulfilled the mitzvah of Yishavtim Ba, then ipso facto Moshe Rabbeinu likewise fulfilled the mitzvah of Yishavtim Ba. There's no possibility of being Mekayim the mitzvah at least Ba'aretz. That's irrelevant, because the mitzvah is a separate independent mitzvah. And that mitzvah could be fulfilled in the land of Israel on both sides of the Yarden. And the Meshech Chochma adds another point over here, which you could miss, and he's saying that we haven't yet, as a nation, crossed the Yarden over to the eastern, over to the western side, where there would be 7 years of military campaign to conquer the land, followed by 7 years of settling the land. That hadn't happened yet. He's implying that certainly Rav Simlai would have had no question to ask if we could fast forward the clock by 14 years, because then Moshe Rabbeinu would not give up the full-fledged mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which would be Yishuv Eretz Yisrael accompanied by the land, the Kedusha, settling the land that's endowed with Kedusha and has the opportunity for the fulfillment of the mitzvah satlius parts. But Moshe Rabbeinu at this point is 14 years before we cross the Yarden. So there is no next level, so to speak, of fulfilling the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Moshe, as he is, in the time slot, the time frame that he exists, his full-fledged mitzvah and obligation of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is fulfilled on the eastern side of the Yarden in Eretz Sichon. Hence, why, asks Rabbi Simlai, is Moshe Rabbeinu so desiring to cross the Yarden? And he answers that although Moshe Rabbeinu at this point has fulfilled the maximum that he possibly can in terms of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu is dreaming of the greatest and the shlemos of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which would be 14 years down the line. And now we have to add another point over here, that Moshe Rabbeinu is not just asking Hashem to allow him to cross the Yarden. He doesn't have to do that. In Moshe's present situation, he has a full-fledged kiyum, exploiting the maximum kiyum of that moment in time of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't have to wait 14 years. But Moshe Rabbeinu wants to wait the 14 years to upgrade and jack up his kiyum of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael to the level of the highest and most perfect Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu wants to cross the Yarden. And again, we're going to have to fast forward another 14 years, but after that period of time of Kibush V'Chiluk, then Moshe Rabbeinu will have this complete mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So just to summarize, before we go on, according to Rabbi Simcha, you can explain the underlying premise of the question of Rav Simlai in two opposite ways. Those who disagree with the Ramban are wondering why Moshe Rabbeinu is desiring of entering into the land when there is no mitzvah of entering into the land. And Rabbi Simcha, in defending the Ramban, is going to say that the opposite premise is true. That Moshe Rabbeinu already had the mitzvah, he had obtained the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And therefore the question is, why was he so desiring of entering into the land? Now, I know that you're pressured in time, and it's been very, very frustrating for me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fast forward to the last piece that I wanted to study with you, so that you can't claim that you had to leave before I got to the punchline. Is that all right? We got the rules of the game. So I want you to open up to Perek Yud Gimel of Parshas Re'eh, Pasuk Vav. But what I'd ask you to do is to just read with me the last part of the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk is not relevant for us immediately now. It has to do with a Navi Sheker and the punishment thereof. But forget about that. We're going to take the last part of the pasuk and bracket it as if it were a separate pasuk, because it has something great to teach us. And it says the following: Hamotzi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim, v'hapodcha mi'beis avodim. Those are the key words that we want to focus our attention on. How many words do we have over here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. And the point of this year is to focus your attention on those words. Notice that Yitzias Mitzrayim, the great exodus from Mitzrayim, is defined and described in two different terms. One term is called Hamotzi, and the other is Hapodcha. And we can translate it as follows: I have taken you out of Mitzrayim, and I have redeemed you from Mitzrayim. And the question that we're going to focus our attention on is the Torah describing two different events? I took you out of the land of Mitzrayim, I redeemed you from Mitzrayim. There's a Yetziah, there's a Pdiah. What is that all about? And why is the Torah so emphatic about Yetziacha, Yetziah, and Pdiah? Rav Meir Simcha quotes the Bir Agro in Aderes Elio, and the Vilna Gaon says, Inyan Nifla. That's how Rav Meir Simcha grades this insight of the Gra. He gives him an A+. And Rav Meir Simcha refers now, which is in the writings of the Gaon, to a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi, in the 50th chapter, and we'll read the whole pasuk. Part of the pasuk here appears in the text of the Meshech Chochma, part does not. And the Navi says to Klal Yisrael, the name of Hashem, of course, Madu Abasi V'ein Ish, why did I come and no one was there? Karasi V'ein One, I came and no one was around. I called and no one responded. HaKatzar Katzra Yadi Mipdus, has my arm become too short to rescue you? V'im Ein Bikoch LaHatzil, do I not have the power to save you? Now the Vilna Gaon explains that Yeshayahu, again in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously is castigating the Jewish people, because they have two powers within their potential to achieve redemption and to be spared from the Golos. What are these two powers? The first power, which is indicated by the Pasuk HaKatzar Katzra Yadi Mipidus, the word pidus, which means redemption, is an allusion to the power of prayer. How does the Gaon know that pidus alludes to prayer? And the answer is, again, Rabbi Meir Simcha doesn't quote the entire passage of the Gaon. I have it here in a footnote in Rav Cooperman's edition of the Meshech Chochma, and if you happen to have it, it's footnote number 1. And there's a Gemara in Masechta Brachos. The Gemara darshins, Madu Abasi Vein Ish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes into the synagogue, and he doesn't find 10 people for a minyan, and he becomes angry. Miyadu Koes. And what is the word karasi? V'ena one. The word karasi is an allusion not to tefillah, but rather to Torah. Karasi zu Torah. Right? There's a mitzvah of reading the Torah. And there's a pasuk in Mishle that says, Chachmos bachutz teranana, berchovos titen kola. That Chachma, which is a reference to Torah, is bachutz. It's outside. It's not in the synagogue. And titen kola, the voice of Torah, can be heard outside, in the chutz, in the rechovos. And v'ein one, which means, says the Gaon, that you have not taken advantage of your power of Torah, and therefore karasi v'ein one. Hashem says, I have the power to rescue you, I have the power to save you, but first you have to take the initiative. And you have two options. Both of them are excellent. One of them is tefillah. And that's indicated by the pasuk Basi V'ein Ish. And corresponding to that resha of the pasuk, Hakatsar Katsra Yadimi Pidus, and the word Pidus now, according to the Gaon, is a reference to Tefillah. So God will redeem the people of Israel through Tefillah. And then it says, Karasi Vein Oneh, you did not take advantage of your power of Torah, the study of Torah, which doesn't require a minyan. You can do it even outside, Bachutz, Ein Ish. You don't need anything more than an Ish. And on that, Hashem says, Ve'eni Matzil. The end of the pasuk is, Ein Bikoch Lahatzil. So the Gaon says that in our pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you that He took us out of Mitzrayim, that's called Hatzolah, and He redeems us, which is called Pedia, HaPodcha MiBeis HaVod. And Yeshayahu HaNavi is castigating the Jewish people because they're not using Talmud Torah to bring about the Geula. They're not using Tefillah to bring about the Geula. HaKatzar Katzra Yadimi Pidus. I would have responded to your Pidus, to your Tefillah, by redeeming you. And Tefillah has the power of redemption, of bringing about redemption. And Ein Bikoach, V'im Ein Bikoach LaHatzil, the Hatzolah means I would have delivered and saved you through Talmud Torah. Now, the Gaon goes on to say that Tefillah is pigeon and Torah is Hatzolah. And he adds the following statement, Ki HaTorah Gidola Me'atfilah. Torah is greater than Tefillah. So there are two questions we have to ask here on the Gaon. And these are questions which Rav Meir Simcha is going to address. Why is Torah in the framework of the Gaon, the Hatzolah through Torah? Why is Torah greater than Tefillah in its power? And how does the Gaon know such a thing? Even if I grant the Gaon's premise that Torah supersedes Tefillah, but how does he know such a thing? And the Gaon adds one phrase which may give away the secret, and Rabbi Simcha is going to analyze that phrase. The Gaon says that Tefillah is begetter pigeon, and Torah is begetter Hatzolah. And pigeon is inferior to Hatzolah. Hatzolah is Hatzolah even without pigeon. In the case of pigeon, you have to offer something else as a replacement. The Gaon gives two examples. He says that on the night of the 15th of Nisan, that was the night of Pedia. Why? Because that was the night of Makas Bechoros. And really, the Jewish people could have been, at least the firstborn, I should say, could have died, right? The Mashkus was there. But there was a pigeon. And the pigeon was that God took the evil ones, the Bechoros of the Mitzrim, as a pedia, as a redemption, and a replacement for the Bechoros of Klal Yisrael. Again, the Bechoros still have to fast, but that was the redemption. That took place on the night of the 15th. On the following morning, HaMotzi Eschem MiMitzrayim, God takes us out of Mitzrayim, and the Gaon says that this was the two-stage process of Geula. the night, the kickoff that started with Pedia, and the morning was Hatzalah and was Yitziah Hamotzi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. That took place during the day. During the day, there was no need for Pedia. Hashem takes out the people of Israel, not just the Bechoros, but all the people of Israel. And that's Hatzolah. No need for a pidyon. The Gaon also refers to a Chazal about Haman. And when there was a Gzera up in Shomayim, Lahashmid Laral Gliabed, Hashem took Haman as a Pedia, the evil one, like the Bechoros of Mitzrayim, and that spared Klali. So that's Pedia. And that reflects on a lower level, which is the level of Tefillah. As we said, HaKatzar Katzra Yadi Mipdus in Yeshayahu Novi, that goes back to tefillah, to prayer. And prayer is a catalyst for pediyah. The higher level, which doesn't even require a pediyah, which is indicated by the end of the pasuk called Hatzalah, or in the case of Mitzrayim, it's called Hamotzi, that is connected to Torah, which is on the higher level, doesn't even require a pediyah.